Darren Mans is coming this time to read scripture for us. As you can see up here, pastor's ministry verses. These are the verses that I've selected over the many years that I've been here that speak to emphasis that I think God wanted in my life in ministry. And so I've asked him to read those to us and then share in prayer. Also, the songs that I picked out, Vicki and I both picked these out. They're favorites of ours. We're doing a little extra in music this morning. A couple of choir numbers that we picked out as our favorites. And so we're looking forward to all of this together. So Darren, come and share that with us, please. Hallelujah.
Victory in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I get so excited when I get to come be with my church family, my brothers and sisters. I just tell Sherry, aren't you so excited to come and be with our church family? Of course, the correct answer to that is yes. But anyhow, then we look around and, you know, we see God's handiwork. This time of year, the flowers blooming and all the beauty of his handiwork, you know. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, I'll get you out of here by 12.
Okay.
Our scripture reading is some of Pastor's favorite ministry verses. 1 Chronicles 4:10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. 1 Samuel 12:23. "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way." Jeremiah 23:28. "The prophet that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully, saith the Lord." Jeremiah 26:2. "Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word." Acts 27:20. "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Psalm 86:11. "Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth." 3 John 4. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Acts 20:32. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Fight the good fight of faith." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can come together. We thank you that we can come to you in prayer and come to you in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Jesus, we thank you for the price that you paid for us. We thank you for suffering the horrible death on the cross. Lord, we thank you for your mercies on us each and every day. And now for the price that you paid by accepting you by faith, we can have a relationship with God Almighty, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray for our church. We pray for our church at this time, Lord, that you'll just guide us and you'll just direct us. And you've already gave us a roadmap to success, to be in your word every day, Lord. Help us to be in your word. Help us to pray. Help us to seek your direction, Lord. And we know that you're going to guide us and you're going to direct us. And Lord, we also pray, too, for our missionaries, and we thank you that we have a church that supports our missionaries, and we thank you for all the ones that work in the ministries around here. Lord, we know that this facility is your facility, and we're just caretakers of it, Lord, and we thank you for that. And we pray today, as Pastor gives the message, Lord, we thank you for the service of him and Miss Vicki and the many years that you've given them, and they persevere, Lord, but also at this time, too, we rejoice and we turn them over to you, Lord. We turn them over to you, and we just ask that you give them help, and we ask that you help them to strengthen their bonds with their family, Lord. And we know that you have a plan for them, and we give you thanks for that. And as Pastor brings the message, as you said, all these activities today are second to your word. And Lord, we just pray that you, as you've done in the past, just give him the wisdom, give him the words to say. And Lord, this is the appears to be the last message that he will give. But Lord, help us to think in our hearts that this is the last time that we have to reconcile our faith with you, Lord. This may be the last opportunity that someone hears this word that's not saved, that can make a decision to accept you as their Savior, Lord. We would all rejoice in that. Lord, we ask you to help us look into our hearts, clear our minds, open our hearts, and have us just to look at the things that we need to change to draw closer to you, that we may be worthy vessels. And Lord, we ask all this in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus. In his name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, my soul. It's beautiful, and I made it through it.
Children's Church.
Thank you. You're out of here. We'll get through. Help me here. Today I'm preaching one of the more difficult messages that I've ever preached. By the way, turn with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. It's one of the difficult messages, not because of the subject matter that I'm preaching on. It's certainly not difficult because of the people I'm preaching to. But because of today's event and what it represents. And God willing, my retirement doesn't mean farewell, I'm not going to see you again. It doesn't mean that. I'm planning to be back here and attend as a member and be here with you. So it's not goodbye, I'll never see you again type of a deal, Lord willing. My retirement doesn't mean that I'll never preach in this pulpit again. It's a good possibility I'll be asked to come back and fill the pulpit and preach at a different time, but just not as your active pastor at that time. It'll be different. What it does mean is today marks a change in how I minister to you and with you. And that's what we want to celebrate together. It's just my allergies here. But what I just said is very similar to the Apostle Paul here in Acts chapter 20. It was toward the end of his third missionary journey. And the Apostle Paul really shared some things that reveals four characteristics that made a difference in the lives of those that he had come in contact with. And I think we all look at life and at some point begin to ask the question, what difference have we made? What impact? What impression? And rightly so. But these are characteristics, these are qualities that each one of us need if we're going to make an impact on the lives of others in our lives. And so I want you to understand from that standpoint today. I've entitled the message, Final Words of Encouragement. Father, I pray that you would give me strength to be able to share very clearly your word today. I thank you for this occasion, but Lord, this is still your day, and it's a time in which we are to honor you and your word, and we thank you for preserving it to us. We thank you, Lord, for making it where we can understand through your Holy Spirit dwelling within us your truth. But more importantly, Lord, I pray that we would take that truth and seek to apply it in our lives with obedience to be in line with what you would be pleased with and not just ourselves. Of course, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want us to see these four characteristics very quickly this morning. And don't worry about the clock. I think I was told that it's running fast a little bit. But we'll get there, I promise you. You don't have to cook lunch today. We got it for you. But the first one is found here in verse 17 and following. Paul's godly testimony is the first thing that made a difference. Look, verse 17, it says, "And from Miletus, he, Paul, sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." Now, the elders, or the elders, bishop, shepherd, or pastor, is used interchangeably in the New Testament. And so he's calling these pastors for the church of Ephesus in that area, and he wants to meet with them because he knows he has but a short time to be with them before he has got to leave, or will be leaving, to go to Jerusalem, that we'll see in just a moment. But he has them come together here, and he wanted to give them his final words of instruction and encouragement as he shared with them here at the end. But the entire time Paul had been with them in ministry, according to verse 18, it says, "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you in all seasons." In other words, they already knew what his testimony was. They knew what his manner of operation was, how he behaved himself, and that testimony meant a lot. And that testimony can be divided, I believe, into three parts very quickly. Number one, we see in verse 19, he says, serving the Lord. Number one, I believe, is his manner, his purpose, was that of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been called to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe he had been faithful to that calling and serving the Lord. Not only would he see that, but the next few words there gives his manner in which he served. He says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. I believe Paul served the Lord very humbly. And the reason for that is something that happened to him. The devil thought he was doing it to kind of get a gain, but God used it for his glory and for Paul's benefit, and that was that thorn in the flesh. You remember how Paul asked three times that the Lord would remove that, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. It's when you see that you are weak that you begin to really rely upon me, and that's when you become strong. That is the gist of what he was sharing with Paul, and we need to understand that too. So Paul recognized and became very humble, even though God used him more than any other man in the New Testament to write the majority of the New Testament, to give them their revelations from the Lord. He became and remained humble because God taught him that particular lesson. So he had a manner about him there that was humble, and a motive there of serving the Lord. His message in verses 20 and 21, it says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He had a message that he didn't hold back on, but he taught them the truth. And so we see his motive, his purpose there, serving the Lord in humility and teaching them the truth. All three of these were known about the Apostle Paul. That was his testimony. He had a godly testimony, and that testimony made a difference. My friends, could I say to you this morning that we as believers today need a godly testimony before the lives of others. Amen. The people that see us, whether they be in our family, as our children, our parents, our brothers and sisters, whether it be people at work or at school, wherever, our neighbors, people need to see us as being faithful, being consistent in that godly testimony before the Lord will make such a difference. Secondly, we see that Paul had a firm commitment that made a difference in the lives of others. In verse 22 and following, we read, and now behold, he says, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save or except that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. In other words, when he was traveling on this third missionary journey, he would come to different places, and God had revealed to some of them that the Apostle Paul, when he goes back to Jerusalem, is going to go through a hard time, and it's going to be persecution and trials that he is going to have to face. They're going to try to put you to death, Paul. It's going to be tough. But he says in response to that in verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. None of those things moved him. He was committed to his work of sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, of being and doing what God wanted him to do, to go where God wanted him to go, even if it meant the possibility of danger or even death in his case. It was something that he was committed to do. He would not be moved. Psalm 16 and verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. We should not be moved very easily from what God has called us to do and what God wants us to be. Webster's dictionary defines commitment as this. He says, the state of being bound emotionally or intellectually to an ideal or course of action. The state of being bound to that. God is looking for people that will bind themselves to his will and his purpose for their lives. That's what God wants of us. He wants us to be that committed to Him that we would bind ourselves to that will, to that purpose that He has for us. Paul bound himself to the work and will of God and would not be moved, no matter what the threat may be, and neither should we. The third thing that we see, not only a godly testimony and a firm commitment made a difference, but Paul had some powerful content. It wasn't his content that made it powerful. It was God's content. It's the Word of God that we're talking about. So powerful content makes a difference. Hebrews 4:12 says of the Word of God that it is quick. That means alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We can understand the thoughts. God knows our thoughts, not only what we do behind closed doors, but even what we think. But He knows even more than we do. He knows the intents of our heart. That's our motives. Sometimes we don't even know our own motives, but God knows our motives. And so it is a powerful Word of God. It is a powerful written Word of God and a powerful living Word of God.
Amen.
Because it speaks there in Hebrews 4:12 about both. That it goes on to say. And so the written Word of God is about the living Word of God, and it is alive and it is powerful in our lives. It is the content that makes a difference. Paul shared two things that revealed the importance of this powerful Word that he had. The first one is his example in verse 27. He says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you how much of the counsel of God? All the counsel of God." He made sure that he did not fail his responsibility of sharing everything. You know, there's sometimes that I come across passages and I look at it and say, boy, this is a tough passage to preach because of the content of what's there. And there have been other times that I had prepared a message that I believe God laid upon my heart and it dealt with something, and I'm sitting up here on the platform and all of a sudden I look out and here comes a person walking in that hadn't been in a long time. And I know that they're dealing with something that's going to be in this message right here, and they probably may not want to hear what God has to say about it. And I hope that they don't think that I knew that they were coming, so I picked this. I don't work that way, never have. God picks what I speak on and what I deal with. And so I say, Lord, you know my heart. You know what? You're the one who gave me this message. You're the one who had him here today. Here we go. And we share the truth. It is the responsibility of the pastor to share all of the truth of God. No matter who the people are that are listening and what the occasion is, we are to speak the truth. We're to do it in a loving way. We're to do it in a graceful way and a tasteful way. But we're to do it all together the same. And so Paul's example was that he did not fail his responsibility to share all of that truth. Second, we see Paul's exhortation in verse 28. He said to these elders, he said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock." Let's stop right there. Notice here a little bit concerning the metaphor that he uses of the flock. Do you know that you're the flock? You're the sheep? And the pastor, the word comes actually from the idea of shepherding. And so that the elder, that he called these elders together, the word bishop, overseer, is seen in this verse as well. And the idea of shepherding, pastoring, is seen here, all three of them together in this. So he says to these elders, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all of the flock, all of the sheep, all of the church people, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers," the word bishop, "to feed the church of God." That's the responsibility, the work of the pastor, the shepherd. "Feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." So he gives in this encouragement here to them, an instruction to them, this exhortation, he gives two things that he zeroes in on. One is their personal walk with the Lord. He says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves." The first priority for anyone involved in spiritual ministry is to make sure that their own relationship, their own fellowship with the Lord, their own walk with the Lord is right, is not suffering. It is no good for you, whatever capacity you may be serving the Lord, whether it is preaching a message, teaching a Sunday school class, working with children, teaching in children's church, or whatever the capacity may be. It is no good for us to show up and have our own walk suffering with the Lord and think that we're going to minister to the benefit of others and the glory of God. It doesn't work that way. We have first got to make sure that we are right, that we are that clean vessel that God can use. He can empower. He can be glorified through the use of it. And so it is important for us to recognize. In 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 14, King Rehoboam is speaking of here. It says, he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. You know, it's possible, as I look out among you here, that there may be some of you that said, you know, I used to be very conscientious about getting in the Word of God and making sure that my life was right and that I was growing in the Word of God. But you know, in the last so many months or so, I've slipped away from that. I'm not reading God's Word as I should. I'm not really thinking about that. I come to church, but it doesn't really cross my mind, am I ready to hear from God? Am I prepared to receive from Him? If that is you, why not right now today say, Lord, I don't want that to continue. I want to be your servant that is prepared. I want a personal walk with you that is in line with what you will bless and what you will use to benefit others. And so we need that. So the first step, I would say, in guarding your walk with the Lord is a self-evaluation, a self-examination. Psalm 139, 23 and 24, King David wrote this. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Why? God knew, but he was saying, Lord, reveal to me if there's any wicked way. We ought to have that kind of self-evaluation as well. Lord, help me to see myself the way that you see me. And show me where I'm lacking today. And help me then be in submission to do that. And that's the next thing I want to share with you there. The first step is to guard our walk with the Lord is that self-examination. But the next step is yielding to what God reveals in that evaluation. Earlier in the song service, I said, you know, I picked those two songs that were favorites of mine, and I picked them in that order for a reason. Here it is. Teach me your way, Lord. That was the first one that we did. What was the second one? Bow the knee. Because once we know God's way, then we ought to walk in it. We ought to submit ourselves to do those things in which He shows. And so it is important for us to recognize there that we must say, Lord, show me if I'm lacking. Show me what I need. And then, Lord, help me to be submissive, to yield to you doing that and adjusting that in my life. That is so important. So our overall desire should be, as we read in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord, and, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Let what I say, what I do, be acceptable before you, God. That should be our heart desire. I pray that that is your heart desire today. If not, I pray that you would adjust that and make sure that that is your desire before you leave today. So the personal walk with them, take heed therefore unto yourselves, he said. The second thing was their primary work. Feed the church of God. Feed the church. Feed the church people. The word of God is what is needful. The main emphasis of verse 28, as I said, is the elder, the bishop, the shepherd, or the pastor. And that main responsibility there is to feed the flock, to give spiritual nourishment to the people of the church. That involves both teaching believers God's word and how to understand it and how to obey it, how to do the things that God says. It's not enough just to know. We have got to then put action to that. We have got to follow through with obedience. Do you believe God's word is the truth?
Amen.
Prove it. That's where we put the actions to it. Faith is demonstrated by works, James says. In the book of James, we are to not just say that we have faith, we're to demonstrate, we're to show that we have faith. And so it's important for us to have that in our lives. We must understand God's word, and we must obey it. But understand, you know the statement you've heard before about a horse and water? Well, you can lead sheep to food, but you can't make them eat. Or could I say it this way? You can teach people God's truth, but you can't make them learn it and obey it. Now, just because you're here this morning and I'm teaching you God's truth doesn't mean that it's sticking with you to learn it. And it certainly doesn't mean that you're going to walk out of here and do it. And so that's on you. I can do the teaching part. I can lead you to the truth. But you have got to focus that and let that get internal with you and decide that you're going to heed it, to obey it. That's on you to do that. And so Paul's exhortation to these elders was, take care of your personal walk with the Lord first, and then for them to faithfully teach God's word. Which brings me to the last point here. And that is a verse that I picked out years ago as I got in front of my Bible, a whole lot of ministry verses that was read up here. Well, one of them is my retirement verse. And here we are. Verse 32. Notice what Paul says. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Bear with me. Last impressions make a difference. These are Paul's final words of encouragement, and thus the title of this message today. There are two things, two foundational truths that I believe he emphasized in this verse. The first one is, he said, I commend you to God. That would be prayer. We are to commend. I am to commend you to God. We're to commend each other because we care. We cast our cares upon the Lord, Peter said, because he cares for us. Not just about us, but he'll care about that situation for us. And so it is important for us to commend, to entrust, or commit to one's charge or care. And so in prayer, he emphasizes that. The second is the ministry of the word. He says, I commended them to the word of his grace, to the word of his grace. Throughout the Old and New Testament, repeatedly it is emphasized about God's word and the importance of it. I've emphasized it in my ministry here. I believe we see in the first part of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 6, that the apostles emphasized those two things. In Acts chapter 6, and verse 4, I believe, is where the first deacons were called out, where the apostles said, seek ye out six men for the Holy Ghost and faith, and etc., and let them do that serving, that ministry, and to the saints, while we give ourselves to the ministry of prayer and the word. Those are the things to emphasize. We'll give ourselves to prayer and the word. That was to be the emphasis of their ministry. Also, we see the example of the prophet Samuel in 1 Samuel 12:23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. I will not sin by not praying, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Both of those go together. Prayer and the ministry of the word, emphasized over and over again. So Paul's exhortation here to them gives an encouragement to have an emphasis on prayer and the word of God. So my friends, my church family, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Keep a godly testimony before others. Seek to maintain a firm commitment to God and his course for your life. Seek to make lasting impressions on others for their good and for God's glory. But remember this, in order to make a difference, you've got to first be different. In order to make a difference, you've got to be different. Therefore, study the powerful content of God's word and let it change you. That's our responsibility today. May God bless you. And thank you.
Let me be a part.
Amen.
Lord, right now, we do thank you for your glory today. The blessings of family, both personal and church, friends. I pray that as we now dismiss from this service, as we close here, we would first take care of our own hearts to make sure that we have made the choices that you would be pleased with today. And then, Lord, as we go forward, that you would receive the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.